proclaiming the gospel throughout the world. Bill Winston Ministries is bringing lost souls to Jesus Christ and teaching them how to walk in a victorious life. We invite you to receive all the blessings that God has for your life. Bill Winston Ministries presents The Believer's Walk of Faith.
Hello, I'm Bill Winston, and welcome to another program. The program that you're watching is called The Believer's Walk of Faith, where we walk by faith and not by sight. We have an exciting teaching for you today. We're teaching on a revelation of royalty, that God, how He sees us. He sees us as kings. Now, when I say that, I'm not talking so much about your gender, but your position in His redemption. In other words, we've been redeemed from that low life. Now we're walking in the high life. As believers, we're the actual offspring of Almighty God. We have His whole nature, and all that He is and inside of Him is inside of us. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, as you are righteous, the righteous are as bold as a lion. Now, the reason why I say that is because in this teaching, we're going to talk about getting rid of fear. That when fear is in your life, you can't be trusted. Why? Because the enemy will put pressure on you in that fearful, anxious state and make you maybe sometimes do things or say things that you never really intended to do or say at all. Fear will do that. It'll paralyze many people, cause them not to act when God wants them to move forward or whatever have you. So we want to root fear out of your life. Get your Bibles and pencils and papers ready. Let's go into it. It's called Revelation of Royalty. Let's go to Micah. Now, why dost thou cry out loud? Is there no what in you? Is there no king in you? Now, what's particular about a king is that a king releases his power in words. A king that doesn't speak is a weak king. And that king. So we said that once you get born again, you and I got born again. Any man that's in Christ is a new what? Creature or creation. God produced through Christ a race of kings. He is the King of Kings. Now, when I'm talking about this, I know I've preached on kings and priests. That's kind of another revelation. That's a team of people behind the fivefold ministry and people who are working in the marketplace, how they come together and form a team. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about kings now. I'm talking about your position in your redemption. Kings, all right? Now, look at verse 10. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to Babylon, and there thou shalt be delivered. And there the Lord will redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. All right, now, we are saying here that God has designed for you and I to go into the world. That the church is not designed to be detached from the world, and that God is bringing us into the world, and sometimes how we get in there is up to the wisdom of God. But we saw some places where, for example, Esther was planted in the world on purpose. She was planted in a palace of King Ahasuerus, who was a heathen king, because God knows the future, and he knew that in the future, a wicked Haman was going to talk the king into killing all the Jews. So he set up Esther that when the situation did come about, that Esther could go on behalf of the Jewish nation and somehow turn this thing around. Say amen to this. And so now Esther was brought into the kingdom, we found out, for such a time as this. So we're saying that you are being placed in strategic areas of this cosmological world system. And you're placed in there to enforce the kingdom culture into places of darkness, that the world is dark. You are the light. The light functions best in darkness. So God's going to send you in there to people who don't know God, who are heathen, who drinking, smoking, cussing, so forth. Now, I'm saying it might not be that bad, but my point to you is that you're being sent in there. Now, God wants you to go in there, but to stay sanctified. Somebody say sanctified. I'm sanctified has to do with, if I can give you my short definition, it means to set apart for specific use. To set apart for specific use. It means some special purpose that God has for you. He sets you apart. And in this case, it's apart from the world. That you're in the world, but come on, but you're not of the world. There are certain things. You can send people sanctify certain things and sanctify, they sanctify the altar, or they sanctify, set apart for certain use. When I was a kid, my mother sanctified the living room. Boy, I'm telling you, I couldn't go through there, come in there, or nothing. And so, look at verse 13. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make thine horn iron, and I will make thy hoofs brass, and thou shalt beat in pieces many people. And I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord, and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. Now, what is he saying here? Consecrate their gain. That means what things they have gained, I'm going to take those and transfer them over into the kingdom of God. You got to hear what I'm saying. So what we did is we went to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Please go there with me. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Now, I'm just saying that the church is designed for the world, to go into the world, not designed to be detached from the world. And what we have to do is go in the world, but not be of the world. And remember, I talked about a law of association. How many of y'all remember me talking about that? I said, in the world, either you're becoming like them, come on now, or they're becoming like you. There is no middle road. If they're not changing, you're changing. Something is happening. Now, I'm saying there could be changing going on in the inside and so forth like that, and you have to be patient. But in the long run, I'm saying that you are there to change them. They are not there to change you. And I'm saying that you change them for the most part by principle. In other words, you'd go into the world and you'd actually manifest the principles of the kingdom, the culture of the kingdom, the morals of the kingdom, the values of the kingdom. They want you to go here. You say, I can't go there. So forth. They want you to say this. They want you to get worried about money. They want you to start talk bad about the boss. They want you so forth. But you don't participate. I'm saying just your act of sanctification will cause the enforcement of the kingdom to come into those environments and cause them to take a second look at themselves and see that your kingdom is much more superior than the kingdom that they're operating in, and they're going to want to know what you got a hold of. Praise the Lord. Now, this is a powerful thing. So you and I are supposed to influence the world. The world is not supposed to influence the church. So we're to go into our places of assignment. What are our places of assignment? That's places that God has gifted you for. Those are places that God has called you to. That's your assignment. Now, in terms of you actually being in that assignment and saying, well, that place don't pay much money. Listen, that God had never intended for you to live off of the salary of this world. And now you got to hear, because see, I'm putting all this together for you. No more toil. See, God has already provided money for you. See, are you following what I'm saying? See, if you're money-minded, then money will control you. What you got to be is kingdom-minded. And you'll find then you'll be under the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. everything that you need. Not everything that you need, just a little bit meager so that you can barely get along down by Grumble Alley. I'm talking about lavish abundance. God is a God of abundance, and he's a God of the best. He's a God of, come on now, when the prodigal son came home, God said, his father told him, go get the best robe. He didn't say go get the one on sale. He said go get the best robe and put it on him. Put shoes on his feet. Come on, I'm talking about custom shoes. I'm talking about when I start talking about that, some people flip out. Oh, you just talking about things. No, I'm not talking about things. I'm talking about the covenant. I'm talking about you manifesting heaven right here on earth. And when they see that, see, you don't have to run after things. Some people, if they get something new, you know they won't hardly speak. Have you ever seen them? They get something new and they start getting. I say, hey man, how you doing?
Hey man.
And so what you can get new stuff and it don't bother you at all. You know, you say, hey, what's going on, Doc? Hey, yeah. You know, it doesn't bother you. So my point to you is this is the kingdom. Our job is number one priority. Our assignment is to enforce God's kingdom into this earth. And you do it by standing when everybody else falls away. Now, you got to hear what I'm saying. Because notice what Daniel and them did. Here was the three Hebrews. And so Nebuchadnezzar, they made a law that once they rung this bell or played the music, they would have to bow down to this statue that Nebuchadnezzar made. Well, the three Hebrews, notice they went to the office party and they went to this and that. But now when it comes to bowing down to a false god, that's where the line is drawn in the sand. Are you following what I'm saying? And they would not do this, and now we ain't gonna burn. Now, what did he do? He said this. Now, wait a minute, you boys, y'all been acting pretty good up until now, but we got a problem here now. That's good. You're about to make me look bad. In other words, you're not politically correct. And so what happened is they said, the king, we understand what you're saying, but the God that we serve, oh Lord, have mercy. God. Now, this is what we got to talk about. I got a lot of stuff to talk about, but this right here I got to talk about. The God that we serve, he is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us, O king. Now, people look at that and they don't think much of it. But folks, they were facing a death threat. Are you with me? They were facing a death threat. But I had to go back and I heard a sermon preached, and he didn't go deep into it, but I caught something. Even in David's life, remember when David got anointed, then he killed a lion and a bear back there trying to get the sheep, and then he moved up to the front line. God sent him there, but he sent him there without him really being aware of it. He was placing him, dispatching him into this place. And so what happened was he was taking some food up to his brothers who were there fighting a war. And they were coming against the Philistines, who were led by a person named Goliath, who was a huge giant and so forth. So he came there and Goliath was busy taunting Israel and talking about who's going to fight me. Israel was afraid. They were afraid and in foxholes or whatever they had at that time. But David said, wait a minute, what are you doing? I mean, you gonna let this uncircumcised Philistine talk about you like that? When I was young, it was like talk about your mama. You know, when you said something about your mama, somebody got to fight. I mean, especially if I don't know you and you gonna come up, you know what I mean? There are certain lines you just didn't cross. And David said, wait a minute, you gonna let them talk about your God like that and so forth? And he ended up moving to the front and got talking to Saul. He said, Saul, listen, I can take him. I said, listen, is there not a cause? Now, that's the key that I want you to get right there. Now, here's, Lord have mercy. God told me, he said, my people have to get rid of fear. In other words, we got to get into a place where we don't fear. But he is saying, anybody in the kingdom that still has fear can't be trusted. They can't be trusted. See, because if enough pressure got on them, right. Come on now. Yes, remember Peter? And Peter was saying, It was with the Lord now, but they took the Lord and took the Lord, and now it's about time for Jesus' passion, and they started interrogating Jesus and hitting him and so forth and so on. And then one of the ladies came over and saw Peter hiding out behind one of the columns, and she said, "Excuse me, weren't you with him?" She said, "No, he said, no, I wasn't with it, darling. I wasn't with him." Then somebody else came and said, "Hey, wait a minute, you were with him, weren't you?" He said, "No, I just told the lady who came up here that I wasn't with him." Then here comes the lady, and the Bible says Peter swore and cussed. Now, you know Peter cussed in a minute. And Peter cussed. Now, I'm talking about not sanctified. Come on now. y'all with me? Now, why did Peter deny the Lord three times? Why? Because of fear. And I'm telling you, you have brother and sister and so forth, and if the pressure get on you long enough, hard enough, strong enough, then you'll start denying folk. You'll start denying the word. You'll start denying. Come on now. And I'm saying it's time for you to get rid of fear, because God, listen, God wants to use you. And Peter had fear and denied him then, but then Peter got filled with the Holy Ghost. And when he got filled with the Holy Ghost, that next time they took Peter, and Peter was working miracles, they arrested Peter. Peter came before the magistrate, and the magistrate told him to stop doing this. He said, "I can't stop, Doc." He said, "I can't go against my God." He said, "I got to obey God rather than man." And I'm telling you right now, see, it might not be that, but it may be an evil report that the doctor may give you about your health. I'm telling you, what we got to do is we got to rise up inside and say, "Wait a minute, I'm cutting that off, because that is not going to take me out of here. I shall live and not doubt and declare the works of the Lord." Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying we have got to get some courage. Is there not a cause? And I'm finding out a way that you can get fear out is get cause in. Get the kingdom on your mind and in your heart. And I'm telling you, when you do, I just wondered one time, why am I so bold, so forth? I figured out why. Because I'm sold out. I'm sold out, man. You can't take nothing from me. You can't do nothing to me. You can't shame me enough, because I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave his life for me. Touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Y'all with me now? You get fear out of your life. Fear don't live here no more. The devil needs fear like God needs faith. Don't ever forget that. You don't let fear come in you. "Oh, I just felt the pain." Don't let fear come in you. "I rebuke that pain in the name of Jesus Christ." Come on, start quoting scripture on that rascal. Is that not a cause? When that cause gets big enough, fear has to go. That's what happened to Martin Luther King. He said, "Wait a minute, I may not get there with you, but we're going to get to the promised land." He said, "Listen, I'm not fearing any man anymore." Are you following what I'm saying? And a peace was on him. Say, "A peace was on him." A peace comes on you, folks, when you know you ain't fearing nobody. And here's the thing about it that a lot of people don't realize. When no fear is there, only faith is left. And when faith is there, you can hear God so clear, just like you hearing me right now. You don't have to wonder, "I wonder, did I hear God? Did he tell me to sow $5? I wonder." Ain't no wondering no more. But when fear is gone, God said, "Put it in there." Boom, you put it in there and watch that harvest come on back for. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. Say no fear.
No fear.
Say no fear.
No fear.
Say absolutely no fear.
Absolutely no fear.
In my life. From this day forward. In Jesus' name. You'd be surprised. Fear. We got a fear-based society out there. The enemy is running it off of fear. But you look at them boys who, them terrorists and all that. One of the reasons they're moving like that is they don't fear nothing. They got a cause so big until they're willing to die for it. It's the wrong thing, but the principle works. Is that not a cause?
Yes, sir.
Seeing all these young people getting in trouble, getting shot, is that not a cause?
Yes, sir.
And all these people getting put in jail, is that not a cause? Seeing all this HIV, is that not a cause? See, somewhere you got to feel it. It's got to come inside. It's got to take you over. It's got to... You got to say, I got to do something. I just can't sit here and watch fear jump out of your life. Fear can't grow and hang on to you without you concerned about you. Get you off your mind and fear can't stay. Well, praise the Lord. I trust that you enjoyed that teaching. Now, again, we're talking about getting fear out of your life. A person of royalty does not supposed to have fear. And one man said it like this, fear tolerated is faith contaminated. You see, when fear is gone, the only thing left is faith. And when you have faith in your life, you can hear God clearly. You know, you get people coming up to me, well, Pastor, I'm not sure what the Lord is saying to me. Get the fear out. Praise the Lord. Get the anxiety out. You know, all of that stuff. It's blocking the door. It's causing confusion to come. When you get fear out, faith is left, and faith can connect with God, and you can hear God just like you're hearing me right now. I'm telling you, Adam walked and talked with God. I mean, they were talking. How are you doing today? Well, I'm doing fine. How about you? I mean, they're walking and talking together. That's the relationship God wants to have with you. And to have it like that, you've got to get fear out of your life. This teaching is a powerful teaching. I advise you to order it right away. It will change your life. Praise the Lord. The address and phone number are on your screen. We have people, again, standing by. They know that when you order these teachings, you want it right now, and you want it right. Praise the Lord. So we're sending it out to you, and we just trust that you'll be blessed. So call us and write us right away, and we'll get these teachings out to you. Well, this is Bill Winston saying, this is another good opportunity to say, praise the Lord, and I want you to keep walking by faith.
Once you received Jesus as the Lord of your life, you were engrafted into God's royal family. You are a child of the King, and the authority of the kingdom is within you. Before you can exercise your kingship, you must have a revelation of your royalty.
If you know your royalty, and you know how a king or royalty is supposed to act, it will affect your behavior.
In this new series by Dr. Bill Winston, you'll learn that you are a speaking spirit, and everything in the universe must adjust itself to accommodate the words you speak.
You got to believe that what you speak is going to come to pass. Say amen to that, and you will have what you say.
Order Revelation of Royalty Volume 2, There's a King in You, today, and Dr. Winston will explain why the church is designed to be the most powerful institution on this earth, why God created you to be a creative being, why you cannot rise any higher than your confession, and much more.
So now we're going to start talking this stuff. We're going to start talking out of our spirit, not out of our mind. We're going to get the word of God in here and speak it out. If he said, let the poor say I'm rich, start saying I'm rich.
To order your copy of Revelation of Royalty Volume 2, There's a King in You, simply write to Bill Winston Ministries, P.O. Box 947, Oak Park, Illinois, 60303. By bank card at 1-800-711-9327 or online at www.bwm.org. Make no mistake about it, there's a king in you. Order your copy of this powerful series, Revelation of Royalty, Volume 2, today. While in the Chicagoland area, Pastor Winston personally invites you to Living Word Christian Center. We're located at 7600 West Roosevelt Road in Forest Park, Illinois, just 20 minutes from downtown Chicago. Our Sunday services are at 7, 9, or 11:15 a.m. with a midweek Bible study Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. We have Spanish translators and sign language for the hearing impaired. A warm seat awaits you at Living Word Christian Center. For more information, please call 708-697-5000. Today's message is available in its entirety on CD or DVD when you use the product number on your screen by writing to Bill Winston Ministries, P.O. Box 947, Oak Park, Illinois, 60303, by bank card at 1-800-711-9327 or online at www.bwm.org. Next week on The Believer's Walk of Faith.
If you keep hearing the words of the enemy, fear will come. But if you hear the word of God, faith will come.
A $750 billion bailout, high gas prices, layoffs. Though it may seem like the perfect economic storm, there is a light in the eye of the storm. You can endure. Come to the 2008 Economic Empowerment Summit and find out how to create wealth in the midst of an economic crisis. Attend workshops to learn strategies for creating wealth. Discover how to increase your business. How to turn an idea into a profitable business. Discover techniques you can begin using right away. Presented by the Joseph Business School with your host, Dr. Bill Winston. Speakers include Dr. Lance Wallnau. He is a teacher and author of the book, The Seven Mountain Strategy, which explores seven strategic areas of influence in society. Attorney Daryl Miller, co-founder of Mason Miller LLP. He combines more than 18 years of experience in entertainment law. Dr. Gloria Jackson, president and founder of the Booker T. Washington Inspirational Network, Incorporated. Lee Walker, president of the New Coalition for Economic and Social Change. He believes the values and goals of Booker T. Washington are just as relevant today as they were 100 years ago. Dr. Isaac B. Horton III, a renowned inventor who has 25 years of experience in technology, patents, international business, and finance. Attorney Jeanon Glasgow, recognized worldwide for her expertise in intellectual property. She is the co-inventor of proprietary patent mapping tools for analyzing patents across all technology fields. Don't miss your opportunity to attend this two-day business meeting, sponsored by the Joseph Business School, November 7th and 8th at 7600 West Roosevelt Road in Forest Park, Illinois. Register by calling 1-888-9-SUMMIT or log on to www.economicempowermentsummit.com.